You know, I want people in our community to think that and wonder that. And some may think that they know, but then there's others that come into communities that don't know. They don't know history and they don't know what's going on. And I want people to wonder about that and think about that when they pass by our church house. Now, why are they there? And why are they there? Why is that church house? And we understand that the Bible tells and explains to us very clearly that this building is not us, but that is our manifestation in some sense to the world. They see where we meet, and may they see us too, okay? That's more important. But I want them to think about that. And have you ever done so as we travel around? Or have we ever thought, what caused that particular church to be here in my neighborhood? You know, I mean, churches, so-called churches, buildings, sects, different ones, and they show up in places. And we're talking about this morning about the Lord's churches. But what caused that particular church to set up house there in my neighborhood? Or maybe one would consider and desire to know, how do churches get started in the first place? You know, I pray that more people would have a desire to find that out and not just make assumptions or just not be mindless and not do any thinking at all. You know, I pray that the Lord would bless that our presence here, our buildings, our property's presence here, and we as we come and go from the services and as we look to engage the community, that people would want to know. I think we need to pray for that. How do churches get started in the first place? Well, the purpose of this message this morning, with our Lord's help and blessing, is to tell how Olmsted Baptist Church came into being and to answer the question, why is Olmsted Baptist Church here? Why is Olmsted Baptist Church here? In 1957, a group of people in this community were led of the Lord to start a new church. Upon seeking authority from Fatherland Baptist Church in Nashville, Tennessee, Olmsted Baptist Church was organized and brought to life. And I say that on purpose that way, brought to life on August 25th, 1957. That group went from not being a church to being a church under the authority of one of the Lord's churches, just the way it's supposed to be. 58 years come Tuesday. Come this Tuesday, 58 years. The Lord built Olmsted Baptist Church here because he wanted a witness of him in Olmsted, Kentucky, to fulfill his great commission. I mean, that's the reason that the Lord builds churches. That's the reason he puts churches together. That's the reason he saves sinners and with some is very pleased to take and put them and call them to one of his churches. And that's the reason the Lord built Olmsted Baptist Church here. Again, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about the folks that the Lord called unto this some 58 years ago. Wanted a witness of him in this community in Olmsted, Kentucky, right here by Whippoorwill Creek. Again, we're identified with the property. Now, the property is not us. We do use it for the service of the Lord and have dedicated it to him. But that's how the world sees us, is here where we meet and here where we worship. And I pray that they see us serve out in the community. He's put us here to fulfill his great commission. What is the great commission all about? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. When a teacher or a brother or someone would ask, or you might get to talking about the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ into his church, what passage comes to mind? And there needs to be some passages that come to mind and grow that you might be able to tell. The scripture reveals to us that the Lord Jesus Christ gave his great commission. We call it that, is the greatest commission given to men and to the Lord, having done so into his church, having given his great commission to his first church there in Jerusalem. And he told what that commission entails here in this chapter in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, the apostles that remain, not Judas, but the other 11, 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And may God help. I don't want to be a doubter, do you? I want to follow the Lord and believe him and trust him and rest in him. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Every bit of it, all. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And so the Lord gives his commission to his church there. He's prepared her. He's equipped her. He's taught her. He's providing the comforter, the Holy Spirit work of the comforter unto her. And he's commissioned her to go and do this work that he has started in the time of his ministry. The keys of the kingdom are no longer with the nation of Israel. They had been. But now the keys of the kingdom, the understanding of the kingdom, the word, the oracle of God is with his church. And he's given it to her. I understand this is the greatest institution on the earth among men, is the Lord's church. And we're blessed here to be a part of it, to be one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches. In this commission, we see that there's three parts. We can see there's three parts of this commission from the Lord to his church, not suggestions, but a directive. A directive our Lord has given to us here, Olmsted Baptist Church. The first part we see is to teach all nations. Teach them what? To teach that men, women, boys, and girls are sinners against the Lord God Almighty. To teach them that they are commanded by God to repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's what we're to teach them. We're to teach them about the Lord. We're to teach them about our God. We're to teach them that they are accountable unto him in every way. That's our job. That's our purpose. That's the reason that we're here. Oh, we enjoy the fellowship and the good times that we have together. We enjoy the support and the blessing that we have to be able to help one another and all those things. I mean, those are all blessings and indeed benefits, but they're not the reason that we're called as a church to this great commission. What we're called to are these three things. And this first is to teach all nations. In Mark chapter 2, what do we teach them? Mark chapter 2, verse 17. Mark chapter 2, verse number 17. And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if Jesus did so, well, his church should do so. Amen. I mean, we are his body. We are the physical continuance of him upon this earth. And he came to call sinners to repentance. And that's what we need to do. They're sinners. My children, your children, our grandchildren, our kin, our friends, our neighbors, they're sinners. And without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they'll die and go to hell. And if you're here and you're not saved, don't block me out. Listen to that. Where does your soul reckon before God? We're to teach every person that we come in contact with, we're to teach them and tell that to them. That's what the Lord says. Over here in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse number 14. The Lord's ministry, the continuation of the Lord's physical ministry upon this earth, is manifested in us, in his church. I mean, his ministry, he performed his ministry and fulfilled his ministry in 3 years, and we're to continue it on. His churches are to continue it on. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, now after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And we need to every creature. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. It's close. It's near. It's nearer than it's ever been before. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Our Lord preached that message and we're to preach that same message. So the first part of our work here is to teach everyone in the community, everyone that we meet, everyone in our families, everyone that we come in contact with, the same message that Jesus did during his earthly ministry, repent ye and believe the gospel. You cannot summarize it up greater than that. The Apostle Paul, a passage that I like to think of and refer to often, as you know, and I pray that we'd have it within us. His whole ministry is summarized in Acts chapter 20, verse number 21. Acts 20, 21. Read it for yourself. He says here that he has served the Lord with all humility of mind and many tears, temptations, and so forth in verse 19. And his ministry is summarized in this, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. No respecter of persons, no holding back because of skin color or nationality, no holding back because of which side of the tracks that people are from or who they know or who they don't know or the wealth they have or the wealth they don't have. But testifying to all, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're to teach them. That's what we're to teach them. And it is a blessing to be called of our Lord to do so. And the second part of the Lord's commission there that we saw in Matthew 28 is baptizing them. Baptizing them. Believer's baptism. Understand that and hear that and know that and be assured in it. Believer's baptism is the only baptism that's known by the scriptures and the only baptism that is directed by our Lord. It's believers. It's those that have been saved by our Lord. They're trusting in our Lord. They have looked to him for salvation. He saved their souls. They have cried, Abba, Father. They have the Spirit of God living within. They don't have to have anybody steer them or direct them to be able to tell what's happened to them. They've been saved. And the second part of our Lord's commission to his church is to baptize them. Believer's baptism is what's testified by the scripture. When a sinner does repent, trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and the Lord saves them, they are commanded by the Lord to be baptized. Again, it's not optional. Now, many in our day and over the millennia have not seen it, not heard it, not believed it. You and I both have folks that we know that we believe are genuinely saved, but they just don't understand about baptism. See why we need to be telling it? Amen. We need to be telling the truth about it. Just met a man this week, and he just doesn't understand that. I believe him to be truly saved, but he just has not seen it. He's been bombarded by the reformers and all those things that come that way and different baggage that he has and different things that he's dealt with in his life. But he gives a great testimony of salvation by the Lord, but he just doesn't understand what baptism is, where baptism comes from, and such as that. A baptism is not in order to be saved. Let it be known. Baptism is not in order to be saved, but to show to the world that one has been saved by the Lord. When one is baptized by one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, there is authority there for baptism. When one is baptized by one of the Lord's churches, they publicly show to the world that they have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and that they identify with the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They say, by baptism, they say, I needed Jesus to do that for me, and I am thankful that he's done that for me, and I'm letting this church and the whole world know it, that Jesus has saved my soul, but what he's done for me. They needed the Lord to have done such for them, because without his gospel, they have no hope of salvation. If it's not for the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, I and you, we have no hope, but Jesus did so. And we have the hope, the greatest hope in our Lord and what he's done for us. He's done that for us. They needed the Lord, the one that is saved and baptized, testifies they needed the Lord to have done such for them because without his gospel, they have no hope of salvation, but because of his gospel applied to their soul, they have been saved by him. He has saved us, not we ourselves. It's his salvation and his great and wonderful work. We come to Acts chapter 8, where Brother Philip is dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's very plain here. And men take and twist and manipulate the scriptures. Philip has been directed by the Lord to go and speak to this man. The man's looking in the book of Isaiah, wondering who Isaiah is speaking about. Philip takes and preaches Jesus to the man. And they travel along together, and we pick it up in verse 35 of Acts 8. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, that Jesus is the fulfilling of all that you're reading there, Mr. Eunuch. All that Isaiah is talking about. He's not talking about himself. He's talking about Jesus. And so Philip preached to him Jesus. And as they went on their way, verse 36, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Because Philip had talked to him that those who do repent and believe should be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's all there together. It's implied. He said, "Why can't I be baptized? So what's the hold up? Now we've got water. What's the hold up?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he's not talking about the man believing that water will save him. But if thou believest in the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart, whenever you see faith, trust, believe, rest, hope, you can always insert in God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the scriptures. It's all faith is always directed to the Lord. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has died for you, was buried and rose again for you, if you are trusting in him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Father sent him for me." That's what's implied there. I believe that Jesus, this man, Jesus, born of Mary, the Son of God, okay? Understand what those names, what his names imply, what they tell. I believe that Jesus, the man Jesus, he would be born and that would be his name. That's what God directed for it to be, right? Remember that? This one, Jesus, that came as a man, I believe that he is the Son of God. God in heaven, this is his Son that came. And he fulfilled his gospel, and he's back at the right hand of the Father right now. I mean, I believe it. And so the man was baptized, again, not to be saved, but because he had been saved. In Acts chapter 18, we see here as the apostle Paul goes in verse number 16, Acts 18, let me get lined up here. He goes to Corinth in verse number 1, verse number 11, or verse number 8. Boy, I'm excited. I can't get it all straightened out here. Acts chapter 18, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. They believed. They were saved. Romans chapter 6. We see here in verse number 3. Let's pick it up in verse number 3. In Romans 6, 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? See, we identify with it. Because his death has already been applied. It's because of his death we've been saved. It's because of his sacrifice. It's there. Therefore, we are buried with him. We identify with him by baptism into death. Baptism shows that he died and that he was buried, right? 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We identify with Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's not dark anymore. It's light. It's not ignorance anymore, but it's knowledge of our Lord. It's not unbelief and gainsaying and doubting. Oh, I don't know if he can do that for me, if he can really pull. No, we believe. We know that he has. We rest in him. We know he's coming back. So the second part of our work here at Olmsted Baptist Church is to baptize those that repent, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and are saved by him. Baptizing them so they can show the world what the Lord has done to them and for them. He has saved them. Also, by submitting to baptism, they join Olmsted Baptist Church and become a member of this church of the Lord to help, listen, to help and take their part in fulfilling the great commission the Lord has given to Brother Jim. No, he's given it to us. And so folks that are saved and baptized, they become a member of the church, and you know what? They step right into helping all of us together fulfill that same commission. See how it just perpetuates itself? And now you've been saved. You've been added to the church to go ahead and tell those people that are in your life about the Christ that has saved you. And you support the work of the ministry by being here for worship and giving, not only just giving of stuff, but giving of self. Brother Jim, I can't do much. Well, I tell you what, as the brothers taught several Sundays, and you brethren that teach the Sunday school classes, you just take the time that the Lord would have you to take, and that'll be just all right. It'll be just fine. But pray. You can't do much physically. Well, it gets that way when you get older. You can't do what you can do when you're 20. I'll tell you about it. I can't do at 50 what I could do when I was 25. Wow. But you can pray and have a heart and a mind and desire for those that can physically serve, and we can support one another in this great calling. So the second part of our work here is to baptize those that repent. First, to teach. Second, to baptize. And take your part. Listen, membership in one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches is not a spectator sport. It's not. Be a part. And you and the Lord know what you can be, how you can be a part. Be a part. The third part of the Lord's commission to his church is teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. All right? Now listen, this isn't confusing. It might sound confusing, but it isn't confusing. The you to which these things to observe have been commanded, okay? So there are those that are in place that have already been commanded these things, right? They're already there. The church is there, right? They are commanded to teach them to the ones that are added, right? Teach them, baptize those that believe, and then you that are already there, you teach them that are coming in to observe these things too. To observe them. In other words, the church is to teach the new members of the church how the Lord wants the church to operate in continuing to fulfill the great commission so that others may hear the gospel, be saved, and added to the church. So the ones, the you, we're already here. And the them that come in, they become part of the you, but they're to be taught by us. So now, as it's been asked many times, if every member were a member like you, what kind of church would we have? If every member was like you, but like me, what kind of church would we have? And we need to ask ourselves, and the thing is, there are hindrances. There's age. There's different things. We talk about sometime here recently, Wednesday, don't kick the ox in the ditch. Sometimes the ox gets in the ditch. Sometimes it gets loose. Right? That happens. All right? But don't do things that cause us to miss out on the service. And the service is not just the services. but it's everything that our church is purposed to do. Every way you can be a part. And be a part to the extent you can be a part, because you and the Lord know what you can do. And you know what? I'm not responsible for what the Lord has called Brother Mark to do in the church. He's not responsible for what the Lord's called me to do. We're responsible, you as members, we as individual members put together in the body are responsible with what our Lord's given us. All right? And we're connected. But fill it. Because this is an institution that's going to go on into eternity. And so we teach and know that we all do teach by what we do. We can't say, well, this isn't going to affect anybody. It does affect everyone. It does. Our behavior and our way. So the church is to teach the new members of the church how the Lord wants the church to operate in continuing to fill the Great Commission so that others may hear the gospel, be saved and added to the church. And on it goes. It's the design of the Lord. It's kind of like a wheel rolling. It's a wheel rolling through time and it goes on and on and on. Fulfilling the Great Commission is what the Lord's kind of churches are to do until he comes back to the earth. If a church becomes a fellowshipping society, she will die. Because you know what? All the fellowshippers are going to die. But we've been given a commission to fulfill. And may our Lord help us. So if you are here and not a member of Olmsted Baptist Church, how does this apply to you? Well, to those that are here and not saved, and even those to an extent that are saved, by you having heard this message to this point, the following scriptures have been fulfilled toward you. And understand this, when the church, when we as members of the church go out to serve and to witness and to fulfill the Great Commission in our daily lives, our daily conversation, our witness, how we operate individually, how we speak, and how we look to tell folks about Christ and passing out tracts, and being a witness to folks and having a concern about folks and praying for folks, all those different things that our Lord has called us to do in those relationships that we have. You know what? As that happens, the kingdom of God is getting out there and bumping up against people. So if you're here and you're not saved, by having heard this message, this point, and the commission that our Lord has given to us, this in Luke chapter 10 has been fulfilled. Listen to this. Our Lord sends out the 70 again to preach. In verse number 1 of Luke chapter 10, and after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face to every city and place, whether he himself would come, and they were to preach and do the things that the Lord equipped them to do. And listen to what the Lord says. We're not wanting to take the context. We're just wanting to take the principle that's here. In verse number 9, he says, heal the sick that are therein and say unto them, listen, this is it. When the Lord's people in the Lord's church goes out and engages our neighbors, our families, our friends, the public, and fulfilling and pursuing this commission that our Lord has given to teach them, number one, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. The kingdom of God is at hand, but this world doesn't see it. You and I that are saved, we do see it. We understand it. We know that our God is king, and we know that the governments of this world are going to fall, and that our Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is going to reign supreme over all. Amen? We know he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. See that? See, we know from what our Lord has told us in the scriptures what's going to happen. But this lost and dying world thinks this is it. But you know what happens when you and I go and witness and we pursue this commission and we go and engage folks and we get up close to them? If you kind of think of it like the kingdom of God that's really at hand, it comes up there and bumps into them. You know, there are some people that get very near to the kingdom of God, like those that meet with us in our services, service after service, that are not saved. The kingdom of God has really come nigh unto you. You hear the preaching of God's word. You hear the truth of the Lord. It's come right up close to you. Other people in the world, maybe it doesn't get that close. Maybe it's only by radio or maybe by a tract that would be left around. And that you know, but the kingdom of God, for those that we go and we engage, the kingdom of God, not God, has come nigh to you. See, there were cities that the 70 didn't go to, but the kingdom of God was still at hand. But there were those cities that the 70 did go to, and doors that they knocked on, and people that they spoke to about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It got right nigh to them, didn't it? Right up close and personal. It says in verse number 9, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Verse number 10, he tells about those that would receive them and such as that. And then those that would reject them, verse number 11, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you, notwithstanding, be you sure of this. You're telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ is keeping track of dust, knock off of his disciples' feet? Sure doing it. I mean, he said it. You mean we go and we're rejected and we knock off the dust off of our feet? The Lord's keeping track of that? Sure is. That's how serious this is. There's nothing more serious to the Lord than this. He says here, even the very dust of your city which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. That's what they were instructed. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh. That means very, very close unto you. So you that are here and not saved, By hearing this message to this point and hearing even these scriptures, understand the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. So the rest is between you and the Lord God Almighty. We've taken you as far as we can. We've told you the truth of the gospel. We've told you the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've told you the truth of your sin and your lost and undone state. The rest is between you and the Lord God Almighty. Will you hear? Will you receive and obey his command to repent and believe the gospel, or will you reject it? Know this, that through one of the Lord Jesus Christ churches, Olmsted Baptist Church, the kingdom of God has come close to you. Our prayer to our Lord is that you will receive it. We pray that you will. In conclusion, I'm thankful to our Lord for calling me to be pastor of this blessed church. What a blessing it is. What a great blessing it is. The calling of the Lord for me to be pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church is to preach and to teach and to lead and help the church here fulfill this great commission from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful to be here. What a blessing it is to be called to such a great work and such a blessed church. And the work of the Lord that has continued here for 58 years will go on as our Lord helps us and blesses and adds to us. May we have continuance, and may we pray for continuance, that if our Lord doesn't come for hundreds of years, that there would be others that he would save and add, and that our ministry, our fruit would remain, and the church would be here fulfilling the great commission to our Lord. And I'm thankful to be here as your pastor. I cover your prayers for me in filling this calling. I'm thankful for each of you, the members of Olmsted Baptist Church. Our salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ and his added blessing of being placed in one of his local New Testament Baptist churches indeed are great callings and blessings indeed. Not everybody has that. And may we value it. May we value it greatly. May it be high on our list in our life. May it be high on our thinking in our homes and our families. May our salvation by the Lord and the Lord's word in our lives and our families and the calling to be a part and a member of one of his churches and this great commission. May each one of us take our place in the church. May each one of us do so and diligently endeavor to fulfill the Great Commission, or if you will, this spiritual charge. You know, what our Lord has given us to do can't be fulfilled by the flesh. It can't be done. We won't find it just within our flesh to be able to fulfill it. It takes the help and blessing of our Lord. And you know what? He's promised he will help us. He's promised he'll meet with us, and he's promised he'll guide us, and he'll direct us, and he'll give us understanding to his leadership. He's made great promises to us, and may we cleave to him and cleave to those promises and look to our Lord. The great spiritual charge our Lord has given to us, not just to Brother Jim Duke, but to us together, Olmsted Baptist Church. Our prayer here at Olmsted Baptist Church is that sinners hear with their heart the gospel about the death, burial, and resurrection of God's own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinners would repent of their sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he save their souls. And that after being saved, are you here and saved? Are you not a member of one of the Lord's churches? After that being saved, they would submit to scriptural baptism by Olmsted Baptist Church and serve and worship him here with us. This is why Olmsted Baptist Church is here.